Bhavari Baba. Thank you all very much. That was a really, really illuminating and, I think I'd say, inspiring set of presentations. I'm really, really grateful. And there's much more that I can begin to respond to properly now. But let me just try and pick up a few themes from what's been said. First of all, it seems to me that one of the things we might need to think about when we think identity is not so much an identity that's closed off, absolutely given, prepackaged. We bring a set of gifts to a shared project of making ourselves who we are and making one another who we are. And I think a really healthy and working society is one where everybody brings, without apology, what has made them who they are, offering it to others so that together you can discover something. Now, a number of speakers, I think, in effect, said that. My identity isn't something that I wall around and defend or use to club somebody else over the head with. My identity, what I inherit, is a gift, if you like. It's something given to me which I want to share. And I suppose that's partly how I think of my own Welshness. The very first speaker said something about doing things our own way in Wales. And I was very grateful at school to have compulsory sessions in Welsh history, which gave me a sense of how, especially in the 19th century, Wales did things its own way in terms, for example, of pioneering universal secondary education, the creation of a university that was genuinely something that the people of Wales wanted and supported. And to my mind, that's a really, really important legacy that, as Welsh people, we inherit. We actually, this small nation, took deeply seriously the moral priority of education in this country, Britain at large. And I think that's something we bring as a gift. Of course I'm proud of that. That doesn't mean I sort of sit on it and say, well, that's our legacy and we defend it. It's something we have, I hope, offered to and shared with the rest of Britain. Identity is a very slippery word, as everybody's, I think, brought out. And I heard some voices raised, I think very importantly, against what people now often call identity politics. This is who I am. These are my rights. I demand that you recognize me. Identity politics, whether it's the politics of feminism, whether it's the politics of ethnic minorities, the politics of sexual minorities, it's been a very important part of the last 10, 20 years. Because before that, I think there was a sense that diversity was not really welcome. And so minorities of various kinds, and not that it's a minority, but a particular group of women, began to say, well, actually, we need to say who we are in our terms, not yours. And that led to identity politics, a very strong kind of legislation that followed it. We're now, I think, beginning to see the pendulum swinging back and saying, well, identity politics is all very well, but we've got to have some way putting all that together again and discovering what's good for all of us. And as I said at the beginning, sharing something of who we are with one another so as to discover more about who we are. So that's just one point that struck me listening to this excellent conversation. Identity isn't just something sealed off and finished with. Identity is something we bring to the task of building up a fuller identity all the time. It's always work in progress. Always a project, never something done with. And once we start saying, this is my identity and that's it, then I think we're in danger of really fragmenting the society we belong to. British first, Welsh second, British first, Welsh nowhere, Welsh first, British, you know, lots of voices around here. I suppose when it comes to it, here's a confession. I still think of myself as Welsh first. And it's a bit to do with coming from a Welsh-speaking family. And it's a bit to do with that rather strong and passionate sense of what Welsh history has meant. But I've never felt that that commits me to a kind of apartheid philosophy. And I think it's important that whatever happens to the political future of Britain, we remain, the nations in these islands, we remain communities that are willing to work for and with one another. Britishness, as people have said, Britishness is a mosaic anyway. And when people, as you say, like the English Defence League and the British National Party, talk about pure Britishness, I think that's pure rubbish. It is complete nonsense. We have always been a much invaded set of islands. And I once speculated on the idea that the reason we have so many different ethnic groups and histories in this country is that we're right at the edge of Europe. When you come to Britain and Ireland, you can't go any further until people discover America and that's really bad. But meanwhile, people have banded up here in Britain. They had to stay. There was nowhere else for people to go. They had to come to terms with each other. And that's our legacy, the history of coming to terms with each other. And that's a far more precious legacy, national legacy, than any kind of racial purity, I think. Last thing, and I could happily go on all morning with the ideas that have come up. Oh no, not the last thing, sorry. Last but one thing. It's a terrible clergyman's trick at saying finally when you mean something quite different. Something clergyman's servants. I just wanted to pick up that fine phrase about Cymraeg Tod Modern. I think modern Welshness is a real development in my own lifetime. I grew up in a climate where, on the whole, the Welsh speakers were, yes, but the older generation, with a certain culture, with a certain religiosity. I think both those who mentioned that, you initially and Bethany also, brought up the fact that we've seen, in my lifetime, a shift to another kind of Welshness, a Welsh language and a Welsh culture that is able to cope with modernity without losing its roots. And there are lots of lessons to be learned from that, and I'm really impressed by how that has worked out. The Gavin and Stacey stereotypes, well, I also feel rather positively about Gavin and Stacey, the truth be told, but I would take very much to heart what somebody said. It's not quite enough for the Welsh to be funny and cuddly. I mean, we're all lovely, really, in Wales, we know that. But there is something a bit more than that to share and to say. This is, after all, the country of the great poets. It's the country of Dafydd Gwilym. It's the country of Lloyd George. It's the country of any number of really serious, intellectual, creative figures. That's a message we need to get across. And there's rugby. Now, really, finally, I would say something about religion. Very struck by a number of the observations made here, and particularly, I think, this question of morals and religion. I hear very strongly what was said about, you know, the priority being to other people rather than God. And yet, for me, going back to Ben's observations, it's the relationship with God that sort of animates and inspires the relationship with other people. If the relationship with God weren't there, somehow something would be lacking in relationships with other people. They're not in competition, they come together. And talking as Ben did about some of the big moral questions we have today, euthanasia not least, I think part of the difficulty is that people don't make the time, and that was your phrase actually, don't make the time, Matthew, was it? Don't make the time for building relationships and understanding one another. They don't make the time for building relationship with God. And some of these moral questions come from not making the time to build relationships. Some people think their lives are not worth living when actually they could be changed. That's something to do with the relationships they have and a society where people aren't giving enough time and attention to one another. And for me, as a believing Christian, that suggests people need to look again at how much time and attention they give to God. But I would say that wouldn't try that. Surprise, surprise, Archbishop believes in God. that's where it all starts, the relationship, the enriching relationship. That makes a difference to all the others. And that is deeply damaged, I think, and destroyed when our religious identity becomes just another kind of tribal identity that we want to beat other people over the head with. And that's why it's so moving to hear about how somebody of a different faith can find nurture and encouragement in a Christian environment. And I can only say how delighted I am to hear that. But it comes right back to where I started. My identity is something I ought to be using to help you build yours. your identity is something you ought to be using to help build mine. And not fixed and final to start with, but a really creative enterprise. And if we think of it creatively, whether we're religious or not religious, that's the most important thing we can do to build a really sustainable, just, and I would also say joyful society. Thank you very much.